good. This is it. This is the moment we've all been waiting for, right? So what makes Siddur Kuf Yud so hard, so challenging, and it is obviously, and not obviously until you've seen it, but once you see it, it's obviously the most challenging siman in Hilchos Taravos. The first two sifim are pretty easy and straightforward. So it starts off easy, so not so bad. And then it gets really complicated. So sifim aleph and beis is the goal for today, pretty much. And then we get into the more complicated stuff as from tomorrow. Ooh, I'm going to have to give shir early tomorrow, because I'm speaking in frish at some point. I think at 1 o'clock.
8:30.
Yeah, so 8 period. 1 o'clock is the 8th period? How long is the period? 12 minutes?
Eight period.
Oh, okay.
39-minute
period. Okay.
So 39.
Are you introducing me?
That'd be so cool.
I don't know. You maybe give me some aids.
Shadows from the war.
What? Shadows from the war? I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, the Irish shadows somewhere. Jersey. And
yeah. Okay. I got a similar... I told you, Yishei Rebo Shaila? What? No, not from Yishei Rebo. The executive director of the Boca Raton Synagogue told me that they had put as an auction item... They had a Yishei Rebo concert this week. So they put as an auction item a Yishei Rebo signed guitar. And the plan was that they were going to buy a guitar on Amazon for $120 or something and then have Yishei Rebo sign it when it comes to this concert. So someone put in a bid for... It was a silent auction. Someone put in a bid for $800. Thinking he just got a great deal because in the ad for the Yishei Rebo guitar, there's a picture of Yishei Rebo, obviously with a guitar. So the guy assumed, that he's getting Yishei Rebo's actual guitar, which I would guess costs more than $120. Right? It's probably the guy just thought, forget about the signature. I'm getting a great deal on a guitar because Yishei Rebo's guitar is probably like $3,000-$4,000. I have no idea what guitars cost, but right,
it's minimum that you can possibly buy a guitar for.
What's that?
Like 120 is like the lowest point.
Right, but like Yishei Rebo, what do you think his guitar costs?
Not like that. Not like okay. More expensive than what you pay for. Not like 3,000.
Not 3,000, but in the four digits.
For the store, yeah, Charlie, you gotta hype it up.
Yeah. Oh, Yishei Rebo's he's got a $10,000 guitar. So the Shaila was. The Shaila was is the guy bound by his bid because he thought he was just getting such a great deal, and the shul was like, why would we give you a great deal? We're doing a fundraiser over here. We're trying to raise money, you know? Nuts. So that was the Shaila. Anyway, why did that remind me? It reminded me of the Jalen Brunson jersey, Shaila, which the father of the boy who got the signature sent me an article that was written by Rabbi Meir Orlean. They have like a Dayan's Desk column. You ever see Rabbi Uri Orlean's older brother? He's a Dayan in Eretz Yisrael. So he writes a column, and he did basically the Jalen Brunson shot, except he turned it into a Jewish musician and getting a, you know. So the guy said, "It's what a coincidence that he did this exact Shaila like so soon after the story." I'm like, "That's not a coincidence." He knows of why you Torah, you know. Obviously, he heard the Shaila. It's not, he went through the whole thing exactly. So anyway, okay. So where were we? Yeah. So this is one of the more challenging. This is one of the more challenging simanim in Hilchos Taravos. So again, trying to get through sifim aleph and beis today. So let's just quickly review the basic halachos of Taravos. That there are four kinds of Taravos, right? There are two factors. Factor number one is yavish v'yavish versus lach b'lach, and factor number two is min v'mino or min v'she'eno mino. So if you make like a box chart, you know, so there are four possibilities of what you could have. So let's chazer over what the dinim are in terms of how we paskin min v'mino. Yavesh b'yavesh. Min b'mino yavesh b'yavesh. The halacha is batel barov, right? That's what we just did, right? That's batel barov. Not only midaraisa, even midrabana. It's just there's batel barov. Min b'she'eino mino lach b'lach. Let's go to the other extreme. Min b'she'eino mino lach b'lach. Shisha midaraisa. Tam ki ikar, shisha midaraisa. Min b'she'eino mino... Yavesh b'yavesh, okay, how's that even possible? Ayin shach, we had a couple possibilities. Min b'she'eno mino, yavesh b'yavesh, shisha midrabana, right? Why shisha midrabana? On a daraisa level, since it's yavesh b'yavesh, it's barov. But midrabana, the chashash is you might cook them together and then it's going to be no seitam, so it's shisha midrabana. Min b'mino lach b'lach, once again, shisha midrabanan. That minatora it's batel barov, meaning minatora it's machlok tanaim, but we paskin minatora it's batel barov, not that it's also b'mashahu. So minatora we paskin batel barov, but midrabanan it requires shishim. So you have the two extremes, and then you have the two other cases in between. So min v'mino yavish b'yavish is one extreme, where it's batel barov, even halach l'maisa. Min v'mino lach b'lach requires shishim on a da'oraisa level. And the other two are shishim midrabanan, but not midoraisa. So in Sif Malf and Beis, we're talking about min b'mino yavish b'yavish. So you have a situation where it's min b'mino, that's a taroves, but it's yavish b'yavish. So there's not a sinas tam. So clearly, midrabanan, the halacha is, so we're building off of what we were just talking about, but midrabanan, the halacha is that a davar chashuv is not batel. On a daraisa level, it would be batel, but midrabanan, a davar chashuv is not batel. What's a davar chashuv? So we already went through. Chatichri l'skabe, the davar sheb minyan, the beria, those were the geshmak simanim at the beginning of Tarovas, where we had a simon for each of those topics, essentially. So they're not batel brov, not even batel be'elef, and that's a din midrabanan. Good. Now, there is a Gemara in Meseches Beitza, Daf Gimelam Beis, which quotes a Mishnah in Meseches Arla. Right? Is it Meseches Beitza or Beya? Right? So in our yeshiva, the Rav Shatzer says Beitza. So that's why we say Beitza. Chayav Adam Lomar V'Lashon Rabba. It's a discussion in the commentaries on the first page of the Mishnayos, the big Mishnah, the classic Mishnayos, whether you should call it Beitza or Beya, whether Beitza is not a Lashon Nikia. There's a Raya from a Gemara at the beginning of Sanhedrin. An interesting raya, whether it's not clear which way the raya goes, but there's definitely a raya from the Gemara at the beginning on the Sechah Sanhedrin that the Achronim work on. You know that raya? You know what I'm talking about? The Gemara at the beginning of Sanhedrin? Tani, you know what I'm talking about? With the case was... Yeah, but I'm saying the raya at the beginning of Sanhedrin is the Gemara talks about a funny story that happened. I mean, not really so funny, an unfortunate story that happened, that someone came to town and he saw that everyone was not being makbid in Tumen Tahara, that they were being very careless about Tumen Tahara. And this Talmud Chacham said, "What are you guys doing?" And they said, "Oh no, none of this stuff here is Hukshon L'Kabel Tumah, because even though it came in contact with water, it was made Bitsayim, it was swamp water, and swamp water is not Makshir L'Kabel Tumah." And he said, "Mechatezi, who told you that? That water from a swamp is not actually, it's water. It's a Yad Shachadam. Of course it's Makshir something to be Mekabel Tumah. You can't just be Metame things." So they said, no, we had a Talmud Chacham that came to visit us, and he gave a shiur on Shabbos afternoon or whatever, the scholar in residence, and he said that made Bitsayim are not Makshir L'Kabel Tumah. And the Gemara says, "But who made Beitzim Ka'amak?" He really said may beitzim. He meant like egg whites are not makshil kabel tumah because it's not yachachadam. But they heard may bitzaim. So the Gemara says, and that's when they decided that in order for a person to paskin halachos, you need heter hora'ah, which is so interesting because you would think that heter hora'ah is what we call smicha. Right, it's not actual smicha, it's yara, where you need to get permission to pass another. You would think the reason you need yara, that you need a heterara, is so that to make sure that you know the halachos before you go and you pass it. Right? But that was not the case. Someone told me that in Torah Vidas in the old days, a guy in shul this morning after Davin came over to me told me that his father was a musmach from Torah Vidas, and he said that his father was Chavrusa's in Tarvadas, his father-in-law was Chavrusas in Tarvadas with Rabbi Norman Lamb. They were classmates in Tarvadas, and Rabbi Norman Lamb went to Tarvadas for high school before he came to yeshiva. So they were Chavrusas in high school, and he said that that when his father-in-law got smicha from Tarvadas, he stayed in Tarvadas to smicha on the what was the name of the rabbi that gave smicha there? I forgot already. But he would write a phone number on the back of the smicha, and he would say, "More important than what's on the front of the smicha is what's on the back of the smicha." It was Ramesh's phone number. That everyone had to have Ramesh's phone number. You had to know that if you have a shayla, you call Ramesh. So you don't really need to know all the halachas. You just need to know who to call that does know all of the halachas. So what was the whole point of the smicha? So the Gemara says the point of the smicha was because people couldn't speak clearly, or if a person couldn't communicate clearly, that's a real problem. If a person can't communicate clearly, people may not know what he's talking about, and they may confuse may bitzayim for may beitzim. Now, if the guy said may beyim, would they have been confused with may bitzayim? meaning if the guy, meaning if it doesn't even sound the same. It only sounds similar if it's made beitzim, made betzayim. So he says beitzim fast and beitzim betzayim. So it comes out very that they sound similar to each other. Anyway, that's one of the rayas that they bring on the first page in the commentaries on the Mishnayos in Maseches Beitza. But anyway, so in Maseches, back to our story. So in Maseches Beitza, Daf Gimel and Beis, it quotes a Mishnah in Maseches Orla. So the Mishnah Maseches Orla talks about bittul, and it says Shayir Meir Omer Es Shadarko Limnos Mekadesh, that anything that's sold by the number, by the piece, and not, let's say, by the pound or by the kilo, you know, they just sell it by number, is not going to become batel. It's going to aser the entire tarovis. But then Chachamim Omrim Ein Mekadesh El Shish Dvarim Levad. Rabbi Kiva Omer Shiva. The Chum say, no, the only things that are so chashuv that they're not going to become batel, there are six particular items. Rabbi Kiva says one more, that there are seven particular items. But you can't just make a general rule of Eshadar Kalimnos of anything that's sold by the number as opposed to sold by the pound. Ve'elu hein, and it lists off what they are. So six or seven things that won't become batel. So that's Machlokas Tanoim, where a mayor says anything that's counted, and the Chum and Rabbi Kiva say that it's a particular list. So that Machlokas between a mayor on the one hand and Rabbi Kiva on the other hand is whether anything that is counted doesn't become batel, and it's a major machlokas. So the Mechaber and the Ramah disagree over here. Davar Chashuv, says the Mechaber, Asur Bemino Bekol Shehu, a Davar Chashuv will not become batel. It's Asur Bemino Bekol Shehu. So again, Min Bemino Yavesh B'Yavesh, normally there's Bittel Barov, but over here it's going to be Bekol Shehu, that even if it's one to a thousand, it's going to be Asur, and that's a Din Midrabban, Veheim Zayin Dvarim. And what is a Davar Chashuv? We pass like Rabbi Kiva says in Mechaber, there are seven things that are a Davar Chashuv. And Elu Ve'elu Heim, and they are, and he goes and he lists the seven things that Rabbi Kiva lists. They goes a Perech, and Rimone Badon, and Chavios Tumos, etc., etc. Fine. So sealed barrels, and types of beets, and cabbage stalks, and Greek gourds, and I don't know, it sounds like a shopping list for Rosh Hashanah fruits or whatever. So breads of a balabayas, which are more chashuv than breads that you get from a bakery, right? These are the things that are a davar chashuv. So it comes along the shach in Sivkat and Vav, Kikar Shal Balabayas, says the shach, Lafuke de Nachtom, de Lo Chashivi, Kein Pashu Pashasu Poskim. That's not good. Kikar Shal Balabayas, Kikar Shal Nachtom are not chashuv. Venirali Dahinu Dafka Bismana Abul Mukomas Shagam Shal Nachtum Chashuv and Pshita Dena Batalim. He says the Shach talking within the Mechaber says that even if you're gonna keep the list to only seven things, but so Kikaros are one of the seven things. The fact that it's Kikaros Shal Balabatim and not Kikaros Shal Nachtum, that's flexible. That really depends on the time and the place. Meaning, or what the Shach is saying is that all of these examples are subject to time and place, and all of it changes over time. That Kikar Shel Balabais, the Mechaber is just using the lashon of the Shas, but really it could be anything. The point of Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim is simply that it's not just everything that's counted. It would be something that's as chashuv as those six or seven things. So whatever would be as chashuv as those six or seven things, which is not inclusive of anything that's counted. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan writes, that the Mechaber just brings the examples of Shas, but you have to really try to apply it in each generation without over-applying it. Because if you apply it too broadly, then you just end up with the Shita of Rabbi Meir, of Eshadarko Limnos. But the Mechaber clearly is being more limiting than that. He's not paskening Eshadarko Limnos. Then the Mechaber continues, V'chein Balei Chayim Chashuv Mehem Ve'enem Betelim. The Balei Chayim are Chashuv and are not batel, but other things outside of these seven and outside of Balei Chayim, even though you count them, they're going to be batel in whatever shear they would normally be batel in. So the mashal, if it was basa b'chalav, it would be batel b'shishim. If it was orlo, it would be batel b'meyav. If it was kilei akerem, batel b'masayim, right? Shem she'isuro, kafel kach she'iro, kafel, right? So just like this, double the isur, because you have an isur achila and an isur anah, so you have double the shear. The Aruch HaShulchan wonders why the Mechaber paskins this way, considering that in Shas, we always seem to assume a davar chashuv is not batel. He writes, "Upasak chacham Rabbi Akiva, the avodah de b'shas muchach talach grameir." He says, in Shas, What's the whenever you hear that phrase, Eshidarka Limnos, what's the first thing that comes to mind? If you've seen enough Gemaras, the Gemara always asks, Eshidarka Limnos or Kol Shidarka Limnos, right? I mean, there's always that whole sugya is always within the sheet of Rav Meir. The Gemara always has the discussion within the sheet of Rabbi Meir. Is it something that's exclusively counted, sometimes counted, but that works with the assumption that it being counted is an inyan, that matters, that it's counted. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, I mean, the Pligi Amorayel, he says, Ubasacham Krabi Kiva, Avagav the B'shas Muchta Allah Krameir, I mean, the Pligi Amorayel, Ibe Lo Chashla. Even though it's clear in Shas we pass in Rav Meir, because we're always arguing within Shitas Rabbi Meir, for whatever reason the Mechaber is not worried about that. He doesn't pass in Rav Meir. Umaot mehani, dizeh shayich in b'makom echad oyomer Hashas came. Says the Aruch HaShulchan what seems like a klal and psak that he's giving us. He says, look, you want to paskin against the Shakla Vitaria of a Gemara, an assumption the Gemara makes when it has a whole sugya. You could do that if it's one place in Shas. If that sugya, Eshidark Limnos, Kol Eshidark Limnos, if that were to appear one place in Shas, Aval, Harei Bahar Bimukomus Bishas Isa Tidavisha Minilo Bato, Vechash Evshalitcha Semayalacha. This is something that comes up all over the place in Shas. And if it comes up all over the place in Shas, even though there's no doubt, of course it's a machlokas tanoim, but if it comes up all over the place in Shas, how can you be dochid mehalacha? Va'od kasha, says the Aruch HaShulchan, dil perushim zeh shekasa v'ramba, mavl shar dvar malf mishtark l'nos, batel. That which he says, that anything else, even if it is counted, would be batel. Kavanasa, da filu es shedarka limnos batel, v'chein pirushu dvarim. That even es shedarka limnos is batel, fi zeh. Kiven de ikr bala lashmienu, daf es shedarka limnos batel, eich kasav stam, afal pi shedarka limnos, de mashma, kol shedarka limnos. Meaning that what is the sugya? Is it kol shedarka limnos or es shedarka limnos? So what's the difference between them? Kol shedarka limnos means if you sometimes count it. Es shedarka limnos is that it's exclusively counted. So why would the mechaber make it sound like that? Yeah, a kol shedarka limnos can become batel. It's an even greater chiddush. Es shedarka limnos can become batel. So that's his second kasha. Va'od kasha, the imkain, eich kasav, the kol dover, shechashav etel, makam ha'am komos, asr, bekol shu, harei lo manu chame le'elu. V'im yishum shedover chashav, havi eshedar kalimun, shay l'drem dokuz ha'me alacha. He says, and the Mechaber is also associating himself from one line to the next line. Because the Mechaber goes through, oh, there are exactly seven things that become batel, here they are. And also anything else that's chashav. Well, what shita is that? Right? Meaning the Shita in Tanaim was 6, 7, or anything that's counted. By the Mechaber saying 7, he's paskening like one Shita in Tanaim, like the Shita from Yekiva. And then he's going to go on and say, and kol dover shu chashav etzel b'nei makomos, anything that's chashav by anybody, that's also not going to become batel. That sounds a lot like the Shita of Rabbi Meir, but he rejects the Shita of Rabbi Meir, that a dover shav minyan, that's something that's counted. So that's the Aruch HaShulchan's problem. Those are the Aruch HaShulchan's problems with the Mechaber. So problem number one is that there are kama v'kama sugyas in Shas that assume like Rav Meir. So how could the Mechaber dismiss Rav Meir? Well, let's even leave out problem number two because it's based on a diuk, you know. But problem number three that he has is that the Mechaber himself is soser himself. So as we pointed out, problem number three is not really such a problem. Why is it not really such a problem? Because what did the Mechaber do with that line when he says, what the Mechaber understood is that there's not this automatic list of only six or seven things. It's that in the times of the Tanaim, there were six or seven things that met the criteria of chashivos. Being counted is not enough of a criteria of chashivos. In the times of the Tanaim, there were six or seven. It is entirely possible that in other times, there will be a different six or seven. Or there may be more, or there may be fewer. It's just the criteria of chashivos is a much higher criteria. So the Mechaber is not being so sure himself by then saying that it could be anything that's chashuv, because he's not going back to say like Reb Meir. He's not saying anything that's counted. He's saying anything that's chashuv. Chashuv means a lot more than being counted, much more chashuv than being counted. The only thing is, what we're left with is a lack of any explanation as to what are the criteria of chashivos. Meaning, if you're going to have a list of exactly six or seven items, there's no criteria, it's just these items. If you're going to tell me that which is counted, good. Eshadar kolimnos, kol shadar kolimnos, I could figure that out. But you're just going to tell me it's got to be a higher bar than Darko Libnos. It's got to be a higher bar than that. But it's not an exclusive list of only six or seven things. It's something that's chashuv like those six or seven things were in the days of the Tanaim. So you got to hire yourself an archaeologist to figure out like how people were living in those days and what they, you know, what are you going to do? How are you going to figure that out? How are you going to figure out what was considered chashuv? Very, very hard to find the get there. The Ramah disagrees. Right, the Rama writes, "V'yei shomrim to kol davar shebeminyan." Dahainu, shedarko limnoso tamid eino batel. That a davar shebeminyan, where you're always counting it, it's always sold by the piece, is not batel. And unless you think, since the Rama just writes it as a v'yei shomrim, v'chei noagin means that we paskin that way. Rav Shechter, I think, points out that when the Rama says nahagu. Nahagu means that in mochim biyada. That if a person does this, then it's okay. We'll let it go. We'll allow it. Meaning you might think it's an objectionable practice, but we'll allow it. Bechenoge means we actually pasuk this way. That we're, you know, that this is a lechatchila, that la halacha, we pasuk this way. The example of Shechter gives of the other type of when the Ramah says Nahagu is in Ebn Ezer. When it talks about getting married, b'tchilas hachodesh, right? What's the Indian getting married at the beginning of a month as opposed to getting married at the end of the month? Is that the moon is getting bigger at the beginning of the month? So it's a simen bracha that you're getting married as the moon is getting bigger, as opposed to when the moon is waning toward the end of the month. That's less of a simen bracha. If you get married on a day of a solar eclipse, I don't know what that means, but that's when you have a, yeah, I don't know, whatever. That's Rosh Chodesh. So it's always around Rosh Chodesh. So anyway, so it's Arab Rosh Chodesh, right? So it's bad news, I guess. But that's what the Ramah says. So people are so makbid about these things that they definitely want to get married. This time, so Rav Shechter points out, that when the Ramah says Nagu, he's saying, you might think that it's usher to be knowing this way, that it's usher to even consider that as a factor, because there's an issue in the Torah, so that you're not allowed to make decisions based on lucky times and unlucky times, and things like that. So don't worry, this is just a simen tov b'alma. It's not, no one actually thinks you can have a more successful marriage because you got married at the beginning of the month, or a less successful marriage because you got married at the end of the month. The married guys were trying to think back, like, you know, don't worry about it, it's okay. No one thinks that marriage is going to be less or more successful. You're good, okay. No one thinks that marriage is going to be more or less successful at the beginning of the end of the month. Yeah, the point is that you're allowed to do this, that it's not an isser to do it. But over here, with Ramah writes, v'cheinagin, so v'cheinagin means that that's really the proper minhag. So it comes along, shach, sivkat, and tes, shadar kol v'milsa tamid, says the shach, aval davar shemokim lefa'amim, gam kem ba'omed, something that you sometimes sell by number, and sometimes sell by estimating, kimo beitzim shalefa'amim mokrim sal mole beitzim, like eggs, where, you know, you go to the supermarket, and you pick up a basket of eggs. Those are usually chocolate, by the way. You pick up a basket of eggs. Kedigisa b'shas, reish mesechus beitza. You're going to be sent right back to the supermarket to buy real eggs. Kedigisa b'shas, reish mesechus beitza. So batel. V'chein kosa b'toris chatos chalman beitz. Fine. So the shach writes, something that sometimes gets sold by number and sometimes not, that's batel according to the Ramah. The Ramah is very specific that it's got to be darko limnoso tamid. However, umar shal b'sevetu shalo kasav dinagin on l'chumra k'sefer truma d'davar shalo fa'amim nimkar ba'omar u'pa'amim b'minyin lo batel v'chein pasuk b'sefro perakid anasha, etc. Fine. That the Marshal disagrees with Ramah, which is not unusual for the Marshal to disagree with the Ramah, and the Bach says like the Marshal, the Shach is very much on, seems to be on Team Marshal over here, because von Marshal Shem Kolshkine Idna Shem Benim Tzaklad Gvein Limkar Sal Mali Beitzim. And he says, also nowadays you go to the supermarket, you will not find a basket of eggs. So Pshita debates a little bottle, Ad Kan Lashono, Chen Kasvavach, etc. Fine. So you have, the Ramah says it's got to be something that's Dark Luminoso Tamid, and therefore the Ramah implies that eggs can become batel. Why can eggs become batel? It's not Dark Luminoso Tamid, because you could buy a basket of eggs. But you should know that that for two reasons we should say that eggs cannot become batel. Reason number one is that the Marshal says that even if it's sometimes counted, that's enough to make it a double chashuv that cannot become batel. And reason number two is that eggs are always counted nowadays. No one buys a basket of eggs. No one sells baskets of eggs nowadays. So this is always a tricky thing to figure out. It's difficult to know. How do you define that which is sold by the piece versus, you know, that which is sold... Meaning, is it really always a reflection of chashivas? You go to a store to buy a bagel, right? So when you buy a bagel or a roll, right, a simple dinner roll or something like that. So how do you buy it? Do you say, give me a bag full of no, you know, bagel? They say, well, how big a bag? You know, how many do you want me to put in the bag? You have to give a number, right? It's always a number. It's always sold by number. So that means that a bagel is a davar chashuv. You know, if you go to buy babka in a bakery, or let's say potato kugel in, you know, one of those in, you know, what they have in Gourmet Glatz, chapanash, you know, like they have one of those. So they have this massive potato kugel, and you say, I'd like some of that, you know. So they just cut off a piece, whoever's, you know, whatever they decide, and then they put it on a scale and they weigh it. So it's sold by weight, it's not sold by number. So what? That means a bagel is more chashuv than the yapsik that they're selling chapanash. I upgraded from table to the opposite because it's more expensive, right? So it's a better example, right? So it's more of a davar chashuv. Very difficult. It used to be in the bakeries. If you buy a babka, they would cut the babka to, you know, sell by the pound also. So when things are packaged or prepackaged, which is how things are always sold nowadays, it's very, very hard to measure these things because everything is sold by number when it's packaged. That's the way prepackaging works, as opposed to if you go to a store where it's like, you know, you go to the old pickle store in the Lower East Side or something, and they'll just, you know, take a Kli and fill it with pickles and give it to you. But everything is prepackaged nowadays. Cakes are prepackaged. Everything is prepackaged. So it's very, very hard to, like, know how to determine this chashivas. But anyway, these are the three shitos, right? So all the possibilities of whether it's got to be something that's, not all the possibilities. Mechaber paskins that it's got to be, mechaber paskins like the shitos that say that it's a specific number of items, but not legamri like those shitos, because he understands them to be saying that those items are not really an exclusive list. It's just a heightened criteria of chashivos. Then you have the Ramah saying that which is counted, but the more higher criteria of chashivos for that which is counted means it's got to be something that's counted always. And then you have the Marshal that says that which is sometimes counted. Question? Yeah. I don't think so. I'm not saying this by the number. I think if they weigh by the pound,
it's not each piece, but at the end of the day, it's the same.
I mean, they have to charge you somehow, but so they're being exact in terms of how much they're charging you, but as an item, it's not a chefza that is chashuv, because they would have weighed half bit for exactly half. You can't buy a half a bagel. Right? Meaning, I mean, when it comes to like today's daf yomi, that ain't a bracha mitzuyah bedavar had nimda ain't a bracha bedavar nimda, you know, that which is measured and weighed and counted, you know. So okay, so that's measured, weighed, counted. But over here, it's a din in chashivas. It's not a din in whether you know with precision what it is. Yeah.
Just to make sure, the Marshal would say that eggs today are not.
The Marshal says that even if eggs were sometimes not counted, but the fact that they sometimes are counted, they are a davar chashuv.
Today it's never sold individually.
No, but they're always counted. Meaning, if you go to the supermarket and you open up a dozen eggs and one of them is broken, what do? You put it back, and you take another one. Meaning, no, I'm not saying like... I'm saying when you're... Not that you broke it. You broke it, you buy it. But But you know, that's what people do, right? They, isn't that a thing that people open the thing and check for the, check that none of the eggs are broken before they take it home, right? Because why should I get cheated out of an egg? I'm buying 12 eggs. I'm not buying 11 eggs. So I think that is b'minyan. Although, as Rav Shachter often points out, eggs are not always sold b'minyan, because in a more corporate setting, they're sold by weight and things like that. When Entenmann's is buying eggs, they just buy trucks full of eggs, and that's where all the small and medium-sized eggs go when we're buying our extra-large and jumbo eggs.
Since you sometimes sell egg pre-cracked eggs in cartons, would that count as selling it not by number?
For sure not. Right? It's got to be. Meaning they sell it by number?
I mean, they don't sell it by number. So can we say right. that in quick that eggs as a category are not...
Oh, would that change the category? Because now they sell... meaning, according to the Shach second time it is that they always sell eggs by number. So not anymore. Now they have, for people who like to make... Everything's made easy nowadays. So you don't even have to crack an egg anymore. Right? People, the guy who's making the omelets just pours out of a container. And, you know, and he makes omelets. You know, on your Pesach program, bishlakum, the whole thing. He's got it all figured out. So, in a chinami. That the metzi... So again, this just highlights a point that the metzias could change so quickly from one day to the next. Then the Shach Sivkat and Yud says, Zinim B'Sveik L'Kula, the Ramah says, right, when we're not sure, because Dabar Chashvein and Batul is only didn't meet Rabbana, so we go L'Kula, Kolomer, Im Yesh B'Savik Imu Dabar Chashuv Olo. That, as you'd imagine, there are a lot of cases where you're not sure if something is a Dabar Chashuv, and therefore you go L'Kula, because all things that didn't meet Rabbana, so you could assume it becomes Batul. Aval Shar Sveikos Ashkan Dazin L'Chumra K'mo She Yisvar B'Sim Zeve Kamaduchti. What does that mean? Shar Sveikos. When it comes to shar sveikos, then we're going to go to chumra. What do you mean shar sveikos? We're talking about davar chashuv. So, if I have a steak, let's say from a suffik trefa, so what would you say? The animal is suffik trefa, and I have a brisket from that calf, and it's a suffik trefa. So, what's the halacha? Suffik darais al chumra, right? No doubt, suffik darais al chumra. Now that steak gets mixed with two other steaks. So it's yavish b'yavish. Min b'mino. What's the halacha? Batel b'rov. Right, even midrabanan is batel b'rov. So it should be that it's all going to be batel. Now it's going to be mutter min haTorah and midrabanan. Because even if it were a vaday trefa, it would be batel. Oh, but you can tell me, no, it's a steak, right? So because it's a steak, it's a davar chashuv. And as a davar chashuv, it's not going to become batel on a derabbanan level. Meaning midaraisa would be batel. Midrabbanan, it's not going to be batel because it's a davar chashuv. So the klali svek sveka os yotes in the shach and klali svek sveka, he says. And by the way, the reason Simon Kofiot is hard is because if you read through the shach's klali svek sveka, that's really really hard. It's also the reason Kofiot is important. Meaning what I mean, it's every word of Torah, but you know what I mean. Klali Svek Svek is really, really considered a davar chashuv in halacha. It's considered a very, very important inyan to learn in halacha. And then there's one other shach that's also really important in the siman, which we're not going to get to today, probably. It's Sivkat and Yudalid. So when you're learning through the siman, just make sure you don't skip that one. You know, it's an important one as well. But in Klali Svek Sveka, the shach writes in Osiyot Tes, that we don't say Safik Rabbanan L'Kula when the Safik originated as a Safik D'Oraisa, but was then this Galgel to a Safik D'Rabbanan. It turned into a D'Rabbanan. Meaning over here, what did I have? I had a steak that was from a Safik Trefa. Safik Trefa, that's a Din D'Oraisa. So you right away said, Safik D'Oraisa L'Chumra. But now what happened? How did it become a Safik D'Rabbanan? Because it got mixed with two other kosher steaks. So now it's Batel Barov on a D'Oraisa level, but because it's Dover Chashuv, it's not Batel, Mi D'Rabbanan. So now I have an issue on a derabbanan level. So and it was only a suffik trefa to begin with. So I have a suffik whether I have this din derabbanan that a davar chashuv is not going to be batel. So now maybe I should say suffik derabbanan l'kula. So that's what the shach discusses in Kali Svek Sveka, that if you have something that starts out as a suffik daraisa and is then this galgel to a derabbanan, we don't say suffik derabbanan l'kula. Common example of that is that there's a pot that you're not sure if you cook trefa in it or not. So if there was treif that was cooked in that pot, tam ki'ikr, da'raisa. Right? We assume that tam went into that pot, tam's going to go into your food, da'raisa. You just wait 24 hours, And then, Einu ben Yomo gzeira atu ben Yomo. Now we're into Rabbanan territory. So now the whole subject, I don't know if I could trade from the spot, but I do know that it was 45 hours ago at this point, because I waited to ask the Shaila. Right? So now it's a Rabbanan. But what started as a Safi Daraisa now turned into a Safi Rabbanan. So you ask the same exact Shaila one day later, and the Pesach is going to change. So the Shach says, no, it won't. Right? Meaning when it started as a Safi Daraisa, it's not going to be Niskalgal, and it's Niskalgal into a Safi Rabbanan. We don't change the Pesach. We don't apply Safi Rabbanan Kula. So we discussed this already in the past several times, where the most common example of that kind of thing is Bubby's dishes, right? That you inherit Bubby's dishes, and you don't know, were they milchig, were they fleishig, were they treif? Bubby was, in her later years, didn't know if she was coming or going, and the milchigs and the fleishigs and the treif and whatever, and there was an aide living in the house, and God knows what she was doing the whole time, and you get all these shilas all the time. So we have no idea what was going on with Bubby's dishes later in life. So the Rabbi Kiveger that we already saw, Simon Memtes, discusses this, and the case is that you only found out when it was Einu ben Yomo. Assuming it's China and it can't be kashered, because that would be the easy way out. So what would you say? Would you say that's called the Safi Daraisa, it's Nisgalgal to Drabanan, or do you just say, come on, it's Einu ben Yomo, and therefore it's Safi Drabanan Lukula? So it depends on what the Svara is. Meaning, it could be that you have to paskin as soon as you get the shayla. You can't delay the psak for the next day when it becomes a din drabanan. And that's why when it's in the skalgel, we're not going to say something drabanan lekula. Because mehechitesi, that you're allowed to wait to ask the shayla till the next day. You're not allowed to wait to ask the shayla. Ask the shayla when the shayla comes up. So you got to ask the shayla on that first day. And therefore, it's really a something to araisa. Because that's when the psak, that was the moment where that was mechayiv a psak. So similar to the idea of Safik Begufo and Safik Betarovis not becoming Sfek Sveka, because once it was a Safik Begufo, it's Paskin, it's Eiske Paskin. And therefore, it's not going to lend itself to another Safik being Mitzdarif later and becoming a Sfek Sveka. So that's one possibility, that there's a Mechayiv of a Psak. The other possibility is that in Lumdus, your psak about Bubby's pot is not about Bubby's plates or pot or pans or anything like that. What's the psak about? What's the subject? It's about the food that fell in or that was cooked in it. It's not really about the kalim themselves. It's about whether the food is kosher. And in reality, just knowing, you know, if I have to paskin what that food was, now I know it's going to affect the pot. But the pot might turn into a Safik Drabanan, but the food never turns into a Safik Drabanan. And since the Safik really started with the food, it didn't start with the pot. So maybe that's the Lumdus. That in Lumdus, I can't look at this as a Safik, whether this pot is kosher. I have to look at it as what the real Safik was. And the root Safik was the food kosher or not? And that's a Safik D'Oraisa. So those are the two possible svaras as to why a Safik D'Oraisa is Galgal to the Drabanan, when you're dealing with Kalim, Shein and Bnei Yoman, are treated like Safik D'Oraisa, not like a Safik D'Rabanan. Again, one svara is that it's a mechayiv of a psak, that as the Safik, as soon as you realize the Safik, there's a mechayiv of a psak. And the other svara is that, no, you have to go back to the root cause, and the root cause is it's not about Kalim at all. It's about food, and the food is the Safik D'Oraisa. So nafkamina is, what if you only found out when it was Einu ben Yomo? Meaning you had, there was no suffix, there was no issue. So if practically you need to paskin when you have a shayla, so good, so now you can be mekel. Because you can't say it was mechayev a psak before I had any idea of a suffix. If there's no idea, there's no idea. But if the issue is about, you know, I have to go back to the core issue, to the root issue. And the root issue is whether Bubby's food, you know, 10 years ago was kosher food or not kosher food. That's Safik D'Oraisa. So that would be one nafkamina between these two ways of understanding why the Safik D'Oraisa, that's Niskalgal to the Rabbanan, we don't say Safik D'Rabbanan Kula, specifically in the case of a pot where you're not sure what happened. Another nafkamina is, as we've discussed, is the Shaila was not about treifus, it was about basar b'chalav. Let's say Bubby was the frumest lady, and she didn't lose it at the end of her life. She was on top of everything, and you couldn't get away with anything. And she was the master of her own kitchen, and she never, chas v'shalom, never anything, any questions in her kitchen. our question is, I don't remember, were these Bubby's Melchik dishes or Bubby's Fleishik dishes? I just have no idea. I know they're kosher. I just don't know whether they were Bubby's Melchik dishes or Fleishik dishes. So if Ben Yomo was something Melchik, there's nothing that demanded a psak when it was Ben Yomo. Right? There was no, even if I knew about a Ben Yomo, nothing demanded a psak. Everything was kosher at that point. It was either kosher meat or it was kosher dairy, but it was kosher. So there's no mukar of a shayla. So when something was only noda after it was Ben Yomo, and in the origin it wasn't a shayla, then you could for sure be making. Because, meaning, then the nafkaminas go, right? They work in concert with each other. So again, nafkamina number one is that that I only discovered it when it was Zayna Ben Yomo. Nafkamina number two is where when it was Ben Yomo wasn't yet a shayla. So when something was only noda after it was Ben Yomo, and the origin in the origin there was no shayla, then we're makel. So if you inherit Bobby's dishes and you don't know if they're milchig or fleishig, so then you could be makel because it's something to Rabban Lakula. So says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, yeah, but if it's kasherable, kasher it. By cheres, you know, if it's kasherable, it's not kasherable. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, even by cheres, you know, you might as well do hagala gimel pamim because you could be yotzei the sheet of the bali iter, where the bali iter holds even kli cheres. You could do hagala gimel pamim and all kasherit. The Hartzvi, Sibes Sechreik, is makel even without doing hagala gimel pamim. So what do you do? So essentially, the halacha really is if it's not kasherable, that you try to give your best guess as to what it was. Meaning, what happens? I inherited Bubby's dishes. I don't know whether these were her milk dishes or her flation dishes, and it's cheres and I can't kosher it. Right? So we just said, since it was definitely kosher, and it's just, and I only discovered it when it was Zayna Ben Yomo, right? I have all the, everything pointing in the direction of Kula, everything's pointing in the direction of Kula, so I could be maker. And therefore what? Therefore use it as what? Be makel to use it as what? So you could go in two directions over here. One direction person go in and say, use it for what I want to use it for. Meaning, I have a very nice set of fleishig dishes. I'd like a nice set of milchig dishes, so I'm going to use these for milchig now. Or maybe you have to say, no, you need to try to figure out your best guess of what Bubby probably used them for. Bubby was lactose intolerant. She never made milchig anything. So why would she have a nice set of milchig dishes? And there was only one nice set of dishes in her kitchen. You think the one nice set of dishes were the milchig ones? Meaning, I don't know for sure, but... So I could just choose to use those as milchig now? Probably not. You probably do have to give your best guess as to what it was, rather than go against your best guess. It's interesting. Rav Avadia quotes a Tshuvas HaRashba, who concludes the tshuva, where he says "Vadayin sarach iyum," and you know about being makel on this, and Rav Avadia is like the godless of like the complete mastery of Kol HaTorah Kula. Is like he Rav Avadia says, when the Rashba says "Vadayin sarach iyum," does that mean that he wasn't sure and we can't paskin like him, or does that mean that you know? He's speaking with humility, but he's pretty sure. So Rav Avadia collects about a half a dozen places in Beis Yosef, where the Beis Yosef quotes tshuvas from Rishonim that conclude with Vadayin Sarachiyun, and the Beis Yosef still passes that way. Unbelievable. I can remember six times in Beis Yosef where he's quoting tshuvas from Rishonim and say Vadayin Sarachiyun, and the Beis Yosef, no, not just say passes, that the Beis Yosef quotes the whole tshuva and leaves out the words Vadayin Sarachiyun. So Dafka leaves it out to show that it's not really about Ayin Sarachiyun. It's an unbelievable level of bekiyus. You know, like sometimes like you feel like you know something well, and it's like you don't know how well someone is capable of knowing things. You know, it's just how the level of fluency that people pick up.
Whenever you say with grandma's pots to use it for hard or just cold.
It's not necessary because we could be makel. Meaning, so I think because it's not necessary. Look, Rabbi Akiva Eiger does say if it's kasherable, it's kasher. So you should kasher it. Meaning, whatever you can do to alleviate a suffix, you should. But if you can't alleviate a suffix, then we follow the halacha. Chacham Tzvi, of course, is different, right? The Chacham Tzvi would say, well, Chacham Tzvi say, as long as you wait a year, then it's mutter. Because Chacham Tzvi holds that once it's a year old already, then the bleels disappear. So Moshe says that for basar b'chalav you could wait, meaning if it was basar or chalav, not basar b'chalav, if it was grandma's pots were either fleishig or milchig, you can wait a year, even though the Rav Moshe is not a Chacham Tzvi person, not legabe Yom Tov Sheni, and not legabe this. Rav Moshe is not a Chacham Tzvi, doesn't agree with the Chacham Tzvi. Obviously, Rav Kiviger doesn't hold like the Chacham Tzvi, right? This was the context where Rabbi Reisman told us what I've told you many times, that Rabbi Reisman said that he once asked him in Chas Yitzchak about a shayla with a china kli and being mitzarif, the bali itra and the chacham tzvi, plus glaze not being balea. The fact that it's glass and it's a kind of glaze on it, so it's not balea. So he wanted to be mitzarif those three things. The bali itra, that you do a galgim upon him, the chacham tzvi, that after a year the blios are gone, and that it has a glaze on it, so it might not be baleya b'chlal. So that's when the Minchas Yitzchak told him the klal in psak is that if you want to be mitzarif sniff in lahakel, you need one core argument lekula. You can't just take a bunch of oddball shitos that no one paskins like and say, oh, but if I put all the oddball shitos together, then I have a kula. So he didn't think you could collect a bunch of das yachids and combine them to have a kula. That was the other story he told, that somebody was married for a month and he came to Rav Palm with a china set that was milchig, and the serving plate from the set was a nice big serving plate, and the wife just put hot chicken on the serving plate. And it's part of this whole big set, so now you have a tray for, you know, you lose the serving plate from the whole set. So Rav Palm said to the guy, "Oh, you live near Rav Bick, so go ask Rav Bick a shayla." And Rav Palm said that, you know, Rav Reisman was surprised. "Oh, what do you mean? You know how to pass in a shayla like that?" So he said, "No, Rav Bick is an anikul of Rav Yaakov Emden. This guy davens in Rav Bick's shul." And Rabbi Yaakov Emden is makel on anything that has a glaze, he holds it's not baleya. So I knew that Rav Bick was going to pass me Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Why does he have to ask me the shayla? It's a question of when a posik is supposed to do that, right? When do you tell a person, it's not your achrayus to ask me the shayla? Meaning, go ask someone different. Hilchos need the shaylas, let's say. Someone calls up and they have, a woman say, "I did a bedika 6 minutes after shkia." So, okay, I Talmud of Rabbi Shechter and Rabbi Willig, and 6 seconds after Shkia we have to be Makhmin, right? But any Talmud of Moshe would for sure be Makel, especially with Shas Chag. So can I tell them, you know, go call Talmud of Moshe? I once did that. When do I do that? I do that if it's someone that's not a Talmud of mine and not someone who davens my shul. It's someone who just, they happen to reach out to me because I have WhatsApp, you know, and their rabbi has a flip phone. You know, that's the only reason. So I'll say, okay, you know, call someone else. You don't have to call me. But I once did that. I said, oh, you can, I gave him a number of a Talmud of Moshe that lives in my neighborhood. And the person called and he was Machmir. So I guess not all the Talmud of Moshe. He called me up afterwards. He was pretty upset. He was like, didn't work out the way he had planned. But that's what the story of Shechter tells with Shlomo Zalman, I think, when someone wanted an abortion or something, Shlomo Zalman said, there's a rabbi, Rabbi Waldenberg, you should call him and ask the Shalom. Anyway, okay. Okay, then the Shulchan Aruch, just one more. And the Shulchan Aruch just concludes, called Kol Dav Shu Chashu, by some people in some places. And it all depends on the Makam and the Zman. And the Mechaber was just giving the examples that the Gemara gave before. So the Be'er Gras says that the Raya is Chatich Ruli Skabed, meaning the Raya that it has to be a more expansive category than just those seven things is because we have all Simon about Chatich Ruli Skabed. Chatich Ruli Skabed is not on the list of these seven things. So Kesem Mishnah says, no, the reason it's not on the list is because the list is in Mesechus Orla. Mesechus Orla is only going to list things that are Gidulei Karka. There could be more things on the list, even Lufi the Tanaim of the Mishnah. And then the Mishnah goes on to say, Royla Orla Orla, Royla Kilea Kerem, Kilea Kerem. So obviously, you can't say a Chatichas Basar, Haroyla Orla Orla, Haroyla Kilea Kerem, Kilea Kerem. It's not going to fit the whole Mishnah. So that's how the Biragra explains. Okay, we fell a little bit behind. There's an important Nod of Yehuda, Madura Kama Simon Lamid. Maybe take a look if you have a chance. It's a famous case of the Nod of Yehuda, famous Shaila of the Nod of Yehuda. So that's one thing I want to discuss tomorrow. And then Sif Beis quickly, like in 2 seconds, then Sif Gimel we'll spend a little bit of time on. So, okay, that's from tomorrow. Stay tuned to the WhatsApp chat for what my fear is going to be tomorrow.